Right, Dylan's grandfather did go to be with the Lord, and so God knows, and praise the Lord that he knew he was saved. And pray for the family there with them. 1 Samuel chapter 1 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. Life is unexpected. Our life is expected. Death is unexpected. It does take its turns, doesn't it? And, you know, there's a man, Dylan's grandfather, perfectly healthy as far as anyone could see, but ended up with a stroke and literally a day, 2 days later, is in heaven to be with the Lord. It's a good thing he knew where he was going. It's a good thing that he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And now, guess what? He's perfectly healthy once again. And you think about that, it's a blessing. He is done with this world, and he is in heaven. I hope today that you know that you're saved. And if you do not know that you're saved, you can know that. The Bible tells us how to know that we're saved through Jesus Christ. And if you have any questions about that, please do ask and make sure of that while you still have life and able to do that. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1 through 11, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives." And by the way, the Bible never condones having two wives. It was a fact. It did happen, but the Bible is never for that. It's just a fact. "The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb." It's still God. And, you know, people say, oh, it's just nature. No, it's still God. And when God decides to give children or God decides not to give children, that is completely in his control still to this day. And it says in verse 6, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." It's bad enough that she wanted to have children, but someone sitting there picking on her, mocking her because she did not have children. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." So now we see who provoked her. It was Peninnah. It was she that provoked her, the other wife. "Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." He was going to take the vow of a Nazarite. Let's pray, and we will look to the Scriptures today. Father, I ask that you would take the message from your word today, and God, I ask that you would help and strengthen and encourage mothers, and even mothers-to-be, Lord, those that have not had children yet. But God, I pray that the message would be helpful to all, and I do pray that it would be helpful to all of the people here who are sons or daughters. And Lord, that would be all of us. And God, that we would live in honor to our mother. And I pray, God, that you would take your word, speak to our hearts, convict us, Lord, if need be. If there is someone here that's not saved, help them to trust you as Savior this very day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this passage of Scripture and we see that Hannah, She was designed by God to be a wife and a mother, and she was a wife, but she was not yet a mother. We see throughout the scripture here there was bitterness in her soul. There was affliction in her soul. She knew that she wanted to have a child. It is a natural thing for a woman who is married to want to have a child. It is a blessed thing. It is a gift from God. It is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, culture has changed. Culture has altered things. Women, instead of looking at it and saying, I want to do this that God has given me to do, and God have the blessing of children, they'll put a career before children. They will, in fact, I wasn't expecting to become expecting, and I'm going to go ahead and kill the baby. And what a tragedy, what a terrible, wicked, ungodly murder that takes place, and they call it abortion. But we see that this woman wanted very badly, and it was in the hands of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20, God granted her request, and it says, wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She asked him of the Lord, and then all of a sudden, all of the weeping, all of the bitterness, all of the affliction, all of that fact of living with, God has not given me a child. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And she realized God had blessed her with a son. She had asked God, and God blessed her with a son. And by the way, she gives the son back to God, and we'll look at that in a minute. But then God gave her more children as well. And what a blessing that it is. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 113, Psalm 113. We're looking today at Hannah's motherhood experience, and the fact that this child came from God. Psalm 113, verse 9, the Bible says this, he maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children, praise ye the Lord. So we see Hannah was that barren woman. She wanted so desperately to have a child. She begged God for a child. She wanted it to happen. She wanted to be able to have a child. And her first and foremost goal with that first child was, I want to give this child back to God. And there was a certain joy connected with it. And God here is praised in this psalm as being the one that takes the barren woman that could not have children, and it is up to God, and God is able to allow that lady to have children. Praise the Lord. And he says to have joy and to be a joyful mother of children. It's a joyful thing to be a mother. You know, you think about it, and granted, we all know that sometimes children can do things that are wrong. And we all know that sometimes children can be a little bit on the frustrating side, right? But we take it, and honestly, if we will take those children and rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they are such a joy, and they are such a blessing, and it is such a wonderful thing to watch them grow up and make right decisions and right choices and walk with God and follow the law of the mother. And that brings so much joy to the mother. Psalm 71, Psalm chapter 71. And verse 6, Psalm 71 and verse 6, the Bible says, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And here we see that God is emphasizing the fact that it is he that allows that child to be formed in the womb. It is he that allows that child to be born. And it is he that takes that child and allows them to grow up. The life of every individual is in the hand of God all the way through. Turn to Psalm 139 and verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. The Bible says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You think about this. You think about the fact that people walk around ignoring God like he doesn't exist. all of the joy when a child is brought into this world. Who gets the praise? God should get the praise for that. And God would get the praise for that, other than Satan tries with everything that is in him to steal that praise away from God. They said, oh, it's just a product of evolution. It's just a product of nature. It's just a process by which things go through. That takes the glory away from God. And ultimately what you end up, remember Wednesday night we read a letter from Brother Spolstra in the Netherlands as he works there trying to bring people to the Lord, and they are practicing openly now euthanasia over in the Netherlands. And he said, made the statement, so-and-so is going to die today at 4 o'clock. And this person that I know is going to die today at noon. Life is in the hand of God. How dare man ever decide that they are going to take life or death and put it in their hands rather than it being in the hands of God? And you think about that and you look at, but where does it start? It starts when we fail to give the praise to God for that newborn baby. It starts when we fail to give the praise to God for the fact that a mother has conceived a child. It's a blessing of God. God said there in Psalm 139, I am he that covereth thee in thy mother's womb. Do you know that God protects? God looks at that little child in his mother's womb. And you know what God says? He says, I hate the hands of those that shed innocent blood. How dare a person when that child is formed and conceived in the womb? How dare some physician go in there and bloodily butcher that life, that child, that baby that is in the mother's womb. Oh, when men become so wicked that they do not realize that life comes from God, the entire nation is on the brink of collapse when that takes place. They're on the brink of losing all the blessing of God and bringing upon themselves the curses of God. Hannah desired a child, and she desired a child from the Lord. From the Lord. She asked God. And I praise God for medicine. Sometimes God, in answering the prayers, will say, okay, this is a little out of balance, and he can lead to the right things in order to bring that child about so they are conceived. But we dare not bypass God and God's plan. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20. Secondly, Hannah prepared the child to serve the Lord. Hannah prepared the child to serve the Lord. We have one. How old is your baby, Isaac? 3.5 months. I believe, is that the youngest child here today? I think probably 3.5 months old. What a blessing. What a joy. God has given you a child to bring up for him. And Isaac's visiting with us today. I told him today, I said, Isaac went to college, so we got another Isaac. So you look at it, but Hannah then, she got this child from God. She knew this child was from God. So Hannah took it seriously to prepare this child to serve the Lord. And I want you to see this. 1 Samuel chapter 1, back in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 through 28. It says, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Hannah's saying here, I want to prepare this child, to give this child to God when the time is right. And Elkanah her husband, verse 23, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. So she did not bring a baby to the temple. She brought a child to the temple. But look at this as we follow this through. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as my soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. So we see Hannah took this child from a baby and up to a little child. And the Bible doesn't tell us how old the child was when the child went to the temple. We know that the child was already weaned. We know that the child was able when he got to the temple to serve, and we'll look at that in a minute. But this child was prepared, and she brings the child and says, "God, you gave me this child. I want to give this child back to you." That should be the heart of every parent. Our children are given to us by God. Should we not then prepare and teach them that they may live for the Lord? And in doing so, we're giving them back to God. And my expectation is, I have three children. My expectation is that those three children will live for the Lord all of their lives. That's what we've trained them to do. Now, they may not go to a foreign field as a missionary. They may. But they ought to serve the Lord with their life, no matter what that life is. They've been trained, they've been reared, they've been given to God. God gave them to me, I give them back. And if God all of a sudden says, "I'm going to send one of them over to Asia or one of them over to South America or something," you know what? It's going to be a little tough on the old human heart. But you know what? If that's what God wants, they're God's. God gave them to me, but they belong to Him. We wouldn't have any if it wasn't for God. We lost the first one. And as things proceeded, the doctor that helped keep Brianna alive, he said this. He says, "I'm guessing at what's wrong. And we'll see whether this helps." Well, she's here. And she's a gift from God. And each one of our children, each one of your children, they're a gift from God, and we need to prepare to give them back. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I have heard people say, "I want to train my son to be a Major League Baseball player so he'll make millions of dollars and be able to take care of me when I'm old." I think the person was joking that said that, but what a sad commentary that would be for us to rear our children in a selfish way for our own selfish motives, right? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3, look at this verse. The Bible says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." You think about this, mother takes this tender, beloved son. Now look at Proverbs 6 and verse 20. The Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Hannah prepared this child to serve the Lord. Hannah put down some rules. Hannah put down some laws. Hannah put down some training in this child's life. And here in the book of Proverbs, we see that this son, not talking about Samuel, but just a son in general, it is beloved in the sight of the mother. And the mother that loves the child is going to lay down some laws, lay down some instruction for that child. Her goal is to make that child into someone who will be a blessing to the world, a blessing to God, a blessing to society. And that ought to be the goal. But guess what? That does not happen without training and instruction and laying down some rules and educating that child and teaching them what is right. The world is full of people who are not a blessing to society. The world is full of people. They're dealing drugs. They're trying to give drugs to children to get them addicted so that they will become addicts. Those people then, they get caught and they sit in jail and they leech off society as society feeds them, as society takes care of them. That's not a blessing to society. What happened? What failed? Well, mothers, we have to understand that there are some rules and laws and things that have to be put into these children when they're little. They need to be taught respect and reverence. They need to be taught obedience. They need to be taught self-control. And he says, my son, don't forsake the law of thy mother. It's the mother's job to lay it down, to teach it, to put it into the heart and mind of the child. It is the children's job to follow the law. And we'll get to that in a moment. Proverbs 29. A sad, sad verse here. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The Bible's very clear. You know, the Bible is 100% true. And when you teach the child, and when the child breaks the mother's law and the child gets some discipline for it, it's a good thing. Because the child that's just left to himself. And what does that mean? One, it means they're left without supervision. When a child is left without supervision, there's the very strong possibility, and the Bible says they're going to bring the mother to shame. And then it is the child left without instruction, without proper discipline. Because right at the beginning of that verse, it says, a rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So a child left to himself is a child that is left without reproof and discipline, right? So it is absolutely necessary that the child is not left to rear himself up, is not left to be raised by the television, is not left to be raised by the teachers. It is the mother's job to raise that child for the Lord, to teach him, to put down the rules and the laws. It's mom's job. Oh, mothers, if you still have children at home, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Because a child left to himself, oh, the grief, the shame. When mom gets a phone call, says, your son has just been picked up for this, that, or another. It's a shame. What a grief to mother when that takes place. But ultimately, it is so vitally important. You have to grasp the fact, moms, you've got to teach them. You've got to teach them. You've got to teach them so that they will go up in the right way. And you don't get that. Now, Hannah, she prepared this child to serve the Lord, and she brings this child and gives him to the Lord. I want to take a moment now and look at a son has a responsibility back to the mother. A son has a responsibility back to the mother. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 22 through 25. Here's giving instruction to a son. It says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Don't you young people, some of you are in your 20s, and you say, ah, mom just doesn't understand anymore. Mom understands a lot more than you think she does. And the Bible says, you don't despise your mother when she's old. You don't look at your mother and think, well, she doesn't have any good advice anymore, because we're in the modern age. No. Young people, when you have children of your own, you ought to go to your mom and dad for advice and get instruction and follow things. But it says this, hearken. Don't despise thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. You take the truth and you hang on to it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. You want to grasp a hold of those things, young people. You hold on to those things because they are your life. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, it says. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. That's the father's side. And it says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. It is the responsibility of a child. Whether it's a 20-year-old, right? 20? Are you 19? You look, no. 19 years old, whether it's 19 years old, how old are you? 13? 13 years old? Or whether you're a little baby, how old are you? 8? Six? Seven? Help me. She's six. It doesn't matter whether you're six or whether you're 19 or whether you're 13 or whether you're 22. It doesn't matter. Or guess what? Guess what? Some of you, your mothers have already passed away, right? Guess what? Brother Bankson, was your mom saved? Was your mom saved? You can still bring her joy. This guy is 81. 81 years old. 81 years old. He could still bring joy to his mother up in heaven. Right? You think about it. The joy that you can bring. You don't stop listening. You don't stop hanging on to wisdom just because mom passes away and goes on to be in heaven. You still honor her. You still bring honor to her no matter how old you are. You still follow those things that you were taught from the Bible that she laid out from you no matter how old you are. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, there's a son has a responsibility back to the mother. Proverbs 10, 1, the son has an ability or a daughter. Sons and daughters have the ability to cause joy to the mother, or they have the ability to cause sorrow to the mother. The Bible says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Do you know when your mother gave birth to you, she risked her very life for you? And if you are a foolish son, a son, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A foolish son would be one that lives without the instruction of God. One that lives like there is no God. A foolish son is heaviness to his mother. How many mothers this very night will go to bed weeping because their sons are on the wrong track? Happens all throughout the world. Every day. Don't bring heaviness to your mother. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. We're seeing the contrast here. You have the ability to bring joy. You have the ability to bring heaviness. Proverbs 15 and verse 20 says this, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man, what's that next phrase say? Despiseth his mother. You know, a man that lives like there is no God despises his mother. Oh no, it's Mother's Day. I love my mother. A foolish son despises his mother. So I really don't. Yes, you do. If you're going to live wrong, you are actively despising your mother. How many of you agree actions speak louder than words? Yeah? Actions speak louder than words. You can say all day long, I love you, mother. And if you live wrong, you actually despise her. Because your actions show differently. Your actions show differently. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother. So he's wasting his father. You know what? Fathers are valuable. They're valuable. Don't waste them. Mothers chaseth away his mother. Mom, give me my space. No. Mom, what do you have for me? Don't you go asking for your space. Young people, don't you dare put up a sign on your room that says, this is my room, do not enter. You know what? Mom has a right to enter your room anytime she wants. She's your mother. You don't chase your mother away. When your mother comes to you and says, look, I want to talk to you about this. Oh, I don't want to right now. No. It's wrong. It's wicked to chase away your mother. The Bible says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Don't you shame your parents. You look at it and say, I want to be the best that I can be, primarily for God. If you'll live for God, you will honor your mom and dad. You know what? It may be that your mom and dad don't even know the truth, and they don't follow God's word. Still, the very best thing you can do to honor them is if you will do right. And if you will take their grandchildren and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it will be a wonderful, wonderful thing for them, even though they may not know it or even understand it. There is no more honor you can give than that. So there's a son that has a responsibility back to mom and dad, and God pronounces a strong judgment on those that will not do so. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11. There's a description here. There is a generation. Proverbs 30, 11. What a sad thing. This is a verse that honestly, it describes a despicable scenario. There is a generation that curseth their father. Can you imagine cursing your father? But the Bible says there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. What kind of generation would that be? How about try 2017? We live in a generation where, and this goes beyond swearing, but we live in a generation where children will actually cuss their parents out, and society thinks it's funny. It's sick. It's a sad generation. We live in a generation where children will actually physically hit their mother. Can you imagine such a vile, wicked, ungodly thing as for a child to lay his hand against his mother? Wickedness. But God says there is a generation. That generation is in for disaster. Hold Proverbs 30. We're coming right back, but go to Proverbs 20, 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20. The Bible says this, whoso curseth his father or his mother, the Bible says his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That person is not going to make it in life. His lamp will be put out. That may mean death. It may mean hell. If a person has not trusted Christ as Savior, they're headed for hell. Can you imagine this kind of a generation? And God says, I'm not letting it go. No way am I going to let it go that somebody's going to get by with cursing their mother and not blessing their father. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, Proverbs 30, verse 17, it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. Now think about this. Young people, get the seriousness of this. If you mock at what your father tells you, and if you despise to obey your mother, what does that mean? It means your mom tells you to do something and you just walk away from it. You don't do it. You're disobedient. He that mocketh his father, your father lays out some good, sound, solid advice and you laugh at it. What does the Bible say? He says, the ravens of the valley shall, it says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. That is a very descriptive term, isn't it? Say, you want to mock your father? Look for your eye to be plucked out and eaten by an eagle. You know, I don't know, that's not a pretty picture for me. What it's saying is there's going to be some severe punishment. I don't know for sure that the hawk is going to fly down and actually grab the eyeball out of the person, but it's going to be that bad for their life. The person, the young person that despises to obey their mother, that mocks their father, their life is going to be that bad as if an eagle had taken their eye and plucked it out and eaten it. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? Everybody in here, I believe, can see. I know recently some people had some cataracts removed. You see a little clearer now? Yeah? No? boy, you need to get it fixed. Get some cataracts removed, and all of a sudden you can see a little clearer, and you think, wow, that's better. God's judgment upon them. Proverbs 31:1. Look at this verse. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now he's going to write a chapter. You know what it is? Many, many people think that Lemuel was another name for Solomon. We're not certain on that, but whoever this was, it was a king, a prince, and he writes this chapter, all of chapter 31, and in that chapter, he talks about a virtuous woman, and he's describing what his mother taught him. You know what he did when he was older? He remembered the instruction of his mother. You know what? When he describes the mother of Proverbs 10, and it starts in verse 10 and says, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? And then it goes on and gives a description of that woman. This young man grew up and he knew what kind of a young lady to look for. Why? Because he remembered what his mother taught him. He didn't mock at it. He didn't go for just the first pretty face that came along. He looked for a girl that would meet his mother's description of a virtuous woman. And he sought out that kind of a person. And he even writes that description for us in the Word of God that other people might know the instruction that his mother gave him. You know, it's good to get instruction from your mother. It's even better to share it. To give it, to pass it on, right? To make sure that other people know it. Let's run back to 1 Samuel chapter 2. How did it end up with Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 2. So Hannah desired a child from the Lord. Hannah prepared that child to serve the Lord. And as she prepared him, he brought her joy. And then she brings him and gives him to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 28 says this. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She gives him to the Lord. Now look at verse 11 of chapter 2. I'm sorry, that was chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 11 of chapter 2. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house. And the child, Samuel, the child, did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So this child was brought. Again, I don't know how old, but this child went to the temple knowing how to work, knowing how to obey, knowing how to listen, knowing how to follow instruction. This child, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'll be frank. There are some children that if a parent dropped them off and said, I want them to help at the church today, it'd be Brother Brown's worst nightmare. Why? Because so many children are not taught to work, to obey, to follow instructions, right? But there are children that could be dropped off and say, hey, I just want to drop my child off to help at the church today. And Brother Brown could give instructions and he'd come back and those instructions would have been followed and everything would be exactly the way it was supposed to be. And there'd be some joy there. See, Hannah prepared this child. And this child followed through with the preparation that was given. We need to take that preparation seriously. And mothers, all fathers and mothers both, we're preparing our children for the Lord. We're preparing them for the Lord. And young people, you're being prepared. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Make them happy. Bring joy to their life. You know what? I understand that Brother and Mrs. Tanksley are going to walk, Brother Tanksley will walk his daughter down the aisle in a couple weeks, 13 days. And he's saying, don't remind me. You know what? that's going to be one hard day for him physically. As he takes his daughter from off of his arm and hands her over to another guy and says, I'm transferring her from me to you. But you know what? Ultimately, he's given her to the Lord. And his desire is that she'll serve the Lord alongside her husband, who will serve the Lord. And you know what? That wedding day, what a beautiful day. Their first kiss will be on that day. Their first hand-holding will be on that day. And guess what? That's been Brother and Mrs. Tanksley's responsibility to make sure that that happens. It's right. It's godly to do things in a right and godly way and protect. And guess what? It takes extra work, doesn't it? Absolutely. It takes extra work. It takes inconvenience a lot of times on the part of mother. Just go. No. You don't leave them to temptation. You don't leave anything open to where anybody can even talk about anything. You protect and you give them to God. And what a joy. What a joy for mothers to have their children living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. We'll give an image.